Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mat Pis.
Aku Yem.
Okey Yem, kita pun dah masuk episod 10 lah. Lama dah kita dah buat podcast ni. Tapi kita tahu di Malaysia ni macam-macam benda berlaku since the last episode 9. Tapi kita akan cakap later. Tapi aku rasa kita kena mulakan dengan berita terbesar minggu ni. Okey, berita terbesar minggu ni sebenarnya berlaku hari ini juga. Bukalapak telah is a Indonesian company. Dia jumps in debut after Indonesia's biggest IPO. Of course ni report dari Bloomberg, di mana kita lihat dalam first day of trading Bukalapak ini dia telah raise 1.5 billion USD in Indonesia's biggest ever initial public offering. Dan saham mereka meningkat sebanyak 25% daripada initial offer price, iaitu RM850, which is equivalent to 6 US cents, USD, but in cents, di Jakarta Trading. The increase has hit the upper limit that triggered the board's automatic rejection, with the price staying at RM1,060 as of 9:02 AM local time. Okay, kita lihat benda ni besar, sebab apa yang Bukalapak buat ataupun berjaya capai ni merupakan satu test for other regional tech giants IPOs. Kita tahu Indonesia's GoTo, which is, I think we've spoken about it in our previous podcast, previous session, gabungan antara Gojek dan juga Tokopedia, sedang is being valued up to 30 billion USD. So this is basically is going to set the tone for other regional once they go into IPO.
Kau tahu tak? ITB, Institut Teknologi Bandung, ITB. Kau tahu tak, diorang ni budak-budak daripada ITB, bro. Diorang tengok dekat keadaan rumah diorang, lapak tu gerai lah, warung lah. Malaysia ni warung maknanya makan. Dekat sana warung tu is anything. You boleh jual toko lah, kedai. Dia budak-budak ni buka, of course at that time budak-budak lah. Now today, diorang dah multi-millionaire. And of course late 30s giants, early 40s but at that time budak-budak ni
giants,
dia bayar dekat GoDaddy $5 untuk buka lapak.com, and you know 10 years down the road diorang dah sampai macam ni. Today market capitalization diorang 7.6 billion US, you know, so that's like 30 billion ringgit. I don't know how much is that in rupiah. And then job dia mudah aje. Very local, rapid deployment and activation, multiple suites of product, and of course termasuk payments gateway. And then of course diorang tak kisah orang cakap apa, dia pergi aja, dia buat aja. And you know, Bukalapak macam kau cakap, dia punya IPO ni dia akan set the tone untuk IPO lain-lain, termasuk GoTo, iaitu Gojek dengan
Tokopedia.
Dengan Tokopedia. And then of course bila kau tengok Bukalapak cap table, dia ada as many as 47 investors, di mana the top 3 backers, MTech subsidiary of PT Creative Media Karya, Ant Financial punya company nama dia API Investment Limited, dengan Singapore GIC. Aduh, Singapore pun masuk. It shows that diorang ni nak sangat.
Everyone wants a slice of the pie.
Everybody wants a slice of this pie, you know. And then bila kau tengok 25% dia buka market, hit upper limit, Indonesian stock exchange stop trading sebab dah hit upper limit. That's how crazy it is. Masa aku tengok yang Bukalapak punya video last week, sama ada, you know, this is a good investment strategy or not, I did not want to come in then. Sebab aku rasa, yelah, aku pun tak pernah invest in any Indonesian companies, mostly US. Baru sekarang aku nak masuk China, but even then through ETF, aku tak berani sangat nak tengok macam mana, you know, Bukalapak ni perform. Wait and see is what I my mantra. Sekali aku tengok macam ni, aku rasa punya menyesal, bro. Menyesal, bro. Sebab if I want just a bit, you know, think about it this way lah. Yeah. Aku nak invest RM1,000 sahaja. Just RM1,000. Okay. Today, dah, as of now, as we record this, dah naik RM1,250. As of now.
Dah make more.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then, of course, transaction cost and all that. Yalah, tapi, you know, it's not going to be more than 25%, you know. That is how crazy this investment is going to be. So that's why, despite valuations appearing overpriced to analysts, the $1.52 billion that it raised from its IPO is 5 times more than the original target of just $300 million. Tadi kau cakap dia raise $1.5 billion, dia orang nak raise $300 million je, bro. So, Bukalapak's market debut underscore the keen investor interest in this company's growth story. Kenapa? Sebab dua sahaja. Rapid deployment and activation dengan hyper local. Dia orang tahu each and every street corner that they are activating their kedai-kedai, their toko-toko, dia orang punya lapak. So it's amazing. This story is really amazing.
Tapi aku rasa in the case of Bukalapak and we've been talking about banyak syarikat-syarikat Indonesia. Of course, there's one thing they're going to say, yelah, Indonesia tu besar, over 200 million population. Yes, I do agree, but I rasa it's just the adventurousness of Indonesian punya entrepreneurs is something that we can model or we can aspire to be. Sebab aku rasa Malaysia punya, yeah, you can argue Malaysia is only like 30 million in terms of population, more than 30 million. Tapi you have to look at C as the actual Southeast Asia as the actual platform untuk kita buat business lah, kan. Sebab kalau tak, if you just look at the 30 million ya, sampai bila lah we're not going to reach Bukalapak level. I mean, Grab, you can say that the founder is Malaysian, but at the end of the day, dia dah very Singapore based. Aku sebenarnya nak dengar lah buka gerai ke, kita buka gerai, some Malaysian company lah able to score this high. But I don't see the way forward.
Dia tak ada pasaran, bro. Kalau population Indonesia 270 juta dan 2 dalam 10 atau 3 dalam 10 Indonesian sama ada pembeli daripada gerai dorang, warung dorang, ataupun dorang owner warung dorang, engkau dah dapat 20% daripada 270 juta. 20% daripada 270 juta tu 50 juta orang, bro. 50 to 60 million. Oof. That's double Malaysian population entirety, tau. So it's different. Pasaran kita sangat berbeza dengan pasaran dorang. And then of course, you kena compare. Alright, what about Singapore? Singapore population 6 juta, 5 juta. 6 juta kalau termasuk yang naturalized citizens macam Eduardo Severin apa bagai. It's different. They are 10 times, 100 times richer than an average Indonesian. Why? Because diorang dah very high in terms of when it comes to intellectual knowledge, intellectual economy, you know, knowledge economy. So you nak mana sekarang? You nak knowledge economy macam Singapore or you nak mass market macam Indonesia? That's why Malaysia ni is in a very tough crossroad. I don't think we can be like Indonesia because, you know, you nak berapa anak, seorang satu keluarga kan, in the next one generation. So the only way forward is to be like Singapore, knowledge economy, but at the same time try to see what we can do in collaborating with the mass market economy macam Indonesia, macam Philippines, macam Thailand. ASEAN ni banyak probability of success, tapi kalau kita masih terombang ambing tak tahu kita nak mana, then payahlah. That's why governance is important.
Governance policy is always important when we come to kita nak cambahkan ataupun nak grow entrepreneur di Malaysia ini. Anyways, tu satu story antara yang besar. Kita also ada another interesting story. Kita move a bit, kita shift a bit to social media. Aku dengan Ye memang suka cakap asal social media ni, banyak benda. Latest is actually TikTok, which is very funny. This is actually the first time TikTok announce diorang, okay lah, I'm not going to say copy, but take a similar approach to apa yang dibuat oleh other their competitors, because usually they are the trendsetters, right? TikTok have announced they are testing this feature called Stories, and Stories ni basically post ataupun whatever that you put videos or content on TikTok will disappear 24 jam, which is similar aku rasa to Instagram, Snapchat, semua everyone or every part of this social media have this feature.
Semua buat benda sama, bro. Dah panggil je copy. Kalau copy, copy je lah. Sebab kau kena faham, semua orang copy TikTok.
Yeah.
Ini first time TikTok copy diorang. Orang. Okay. YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels.
Yes.
Ada banyak lagi. Aku ni tak reti sangat social media. Betul, tapi betul. Semua buat yang short version stories.
Snapchat,
okay?
Launch,
aku semalam, spotlight. Aku gelak-gelak dengan anak aku tau. Over dinner. Aku cakap, you know, korang ni tak nak ni ke, nak, yang my son dia nak jadi doktor.
Okay.
Yang my daughter pula, dia nak jadi ni babe, dia nak jadi influencer. Aku gelak kan, seorang nak jadi doktor, seorang nak jadi influencer.
Okay.
Bukanlah aku cakap semua anak-anak aku semua kena jadi doktor. I'm not an aged parent.
Faham,
that
faham.
Hardcore lah. Tapi aku cakap, eh by the way, aku cakap, Alia, you ni, by the time you besar sikit, by the time you teenager ke apa ke, dah tak ada dah TikTok ni, dah jadi benda lain dah. Aku cakap panggil TikTok YouTube ataupun TalkTube. Anak aku yang ni, yang boy Noma ni, dia kata, eh dah ada dah daddy, nama dia YouTube Shorts. So you know, it's like it's a real thing, you know. So bila orang lain copy TikTok, TikTok ni dah, you know, they always in ahead of the game, in the sense that because of ByteDance, because of their relations to China, they are trying their best to innovate.
Betul.
So for the first time, TikTok copy orang lain. And kalau kita tengok timeline, 2013 Snapchat launches Stories, okay, and then pada 2015 Snapchat punya popularity, dia dah kacau Facebook punya empire. So Facebook dah goyang at that time. That's why masa 2016 Instagram the copy Stories.
Yes.
Okay, copy bulat-bulat babe.
Same feature.
Kalau kau
lah
tengok 2000 exactly bro. So 2019 until hari ni, TikTok mula mendominasi dunia. Itu for sure. Okay. Hari ni aku spend, kalau aku tengok aku punya screen time pun, aku tengok I spend about half an hour on TikTok. Alright. Bila tahun 2020 Instagram melancarkan TikTok punya competitor Reels, Snapchat lancarkan diorang punya version sendiri, nama dia Spotlight. This is last year. It just seems normal for TikTok to introduce Stories untuk 2021. So now the question is, if all the social media offer the same stuff, basically offer the same shit,
then why?
What differentiates one over the other?
Exactly. Tapi aku rasa it's always the UI UX, right? It's the user experience, right? You always, you know, Instagram is going to be Instagram. You know, TikTok is going to be TikTok. You know, actually, to tell you the truth, I'm not a Snapchat user. I tried installing Snapchat, but it's just too young for me. It's just too young. I just can't do it. Tak boleh. Tapi
sekarang ni ada satu lagi benda baru. Nama dia Telonym. Kau apa tahu? Telonym.
Oh no.
TELLONYM. Telonym.
Is it?
Telonym ni dia macam
baru.
Baru, sangat baru, budak-budak. Okay. Buat ni. So it's an anonymous app. Di mana orang boleh hantar kau message without the person punya identity known. Now of course you can report on this.
Okay.
But at the same time, kalau ada benda ngarut, you will always be able to report. But you can see the anonymity is now a big commodity inside social media. Everybody wants to be anonymous, but everybody wants to be famous. And because of this, dia ada memberi satu masalah kesihatan mental terhadap, terutamanya terhadap kanak-kanak dan remaja perempuan di antara umur 15 hingga 19 tahun. Ini kajian daripada New York University. Gadis 15 hingga 19 tahun memang mempunyai masalah kesihatan mental kerana, bukan sebab apa, diorang dah discounted every other possibilities, but because of social media. Dan because of that, app-app macam Telonym dan sebagainya ni, dia target girls between 15 to 19,
okay,
and sometimes even younger, dan kesihatan mental diorang tergugat sebab orang boleh hantar macam-macam nonsense, rubbish, and diorang akan terkena kesihatan mental. You know, it's so simple, you know. Aku punya ni, Telonym ni, ada orang cakap, very nasty stuff lah. It's just nasty lah, you know. And I feel that, wow, okay, this is the kind of shit that I have to go through lah right now. That's why, but for me, aku adult and I'm a grown man, aku boleh
filter. Yeah lah, we can filter.
But imagine if a girl goes through. Yeah, imagine if a girl goes through it.
Actually, to think back, I remember like way back 10, 12 years ago, I don't even have a phone that supports Instagram. Because I think if you remember, Instagram was before it got bought over by Facebook. Instagram ni only on iPhone. iPhone users only can use. Kalau you guna BlackBerry ke apa, no Instagram. You can't. It's basically that exclusive. And aku rasa aku started joining Instagram when I was like 23, 24. And even then, biasalah when you masuk Instagram, kejar likes dan sebagainya. But I think I've outgrown that phase, and as a 24-year-old, it's fine to actually go through that phase because you know what needs to post. Tapi aku look at the population today, people who are on Instagram are like 11, 12 years old. I mean, it's dangerous lah. It's dangerous. I worry for the future, but oh well, it's the world we live in. Kita kena find ways to, you know, if you are a parent, you kena educate your children about social media. Mak bapak aku tak pernah educate aku pasal social media because aku yang educate dia orang pasal social media because it's not their time. So it's a very different time, and aku rasa kita tersasar a bit from the actual TikTok punya introducing, but aku rasa it will only get more. I mean, the social media wars is not going to end in 2021. It's just going to get more. With the pandemic, with everything, it's just going to get intensified. Companies will start to innovate more. More telonyms will come. Okay. Aku tak pernah dengar pun pasal telonyms sampai you told me. That's the thing.
But the only reason why this is going to move forward is because ByteDance ataupun TikTok boleh guna intelligence dan data untuk mengenal kau. Remember last time we spoke about micro analytics. Mm-hmm. Dia boleh tengok kau boleh enjoy, you know, 10 second video. And then dalam satu minit, kau ada 3 or 4 videos. Uh-huh. Within 1 minute, dia dah tahu dah kau suka apa, kau benci apa. Uh-huh. Within 1 hour, dia dah tahu completely kau ni jenis macam mana. And then of course, maybe this month, you know, kita minat bola. Hmm. Right? Next month, aku minat fashion. Who knows, right? With that change tu yang penting. Hmm. Bulan August, aku minat bola. Bulan that September, trend. Aku minat fashion. And end of August, early September, they can detect that change and then they can introduce sales and marketing opportunities to potential advertisers. That's where they make the money. So, orang macam TikTok, companies macam TikTok, dia boleh tahu benda ni instantaneously. And that's how they can keep ahead of the market when it comes to benda lain, Instagram, benda semua ni. Hmm. Because Instagram can do all they want. Yeah, reels ke apa ke. But can their analytics support that notification or noticing users having that change of likes or preferences? Interest, because that is the trendsetter. That is the indicator to show trending. Mm. And whoever that jumps on the trending circuit awal, diorang akan menang. In terms of the advertising game. And that's why TikTok is really, really competitive when it comes to trying to target consumers, understanding early trends and then targeting the advertisers to approach these kind of trends. Aku tak tengok syarikat-syarikat social media yang lain boleh buat macam ni. Itu aku yakin.
Betul-betul. And especially trends ni penting, especially when you talk about, let's just take Malaysia for example, right? It's always there's always a trend buying masa raya. And you can, I think if let's say someone or any company were to monitor how we buy, sebab tu sale semua time raya, 8-8, 7-7, 10-10 semua. So this is how important data is. Sebab when you can actually mine it all together and tabulate it and populate it, you can see how a population reacts during a certain time period, and then you can basically mine, get your money or get your profit from it lah. Anyways, TikTok ni aku rasa I mean, this is not the latest thing that they will... it's not the last thing they will introduce. Banyak lagi benda baru, I'm sure. ByteDance is a very interesting company to view. And we will continue to look at it lah. But ada satu lagi story sebenarnya, Ip, yang aku rasa quite interesting. Dan aku, this is concerning your favorite audio app, which is Clubhouse. Aku sebenarnya dah lama tak masuk Clubhouse. Aku masuk Clubhouse kalau kawan aku panggil. But apparently, this this story from New York Post is reporting that ahli-ahli Taliban menggunakan chat room di Clubhouse untuk sebarkan whatever you want to call it, dakyah, fahaman mereka. And apparently, I mean, there's nothing that the owner of the app can do anything about it. Of course, if you look at the terms of service di Clubhouse, they memang against any immoral, racist or discriminatory. But the thing about Clubhouse, you can just log in and you can just do a room, discuss about things, say your piece and then belah. And there's no way, macam Facebook, you still can track, right? There's a post, there's a Facebook live, there's trail. But Clubhouse, aku tak jumpa. Even as a user, aku tak jumpa how to trail this. And which makes it very dangerous if any terrorist groups or extremist groups were to use it to sebarkan their dakyah.
Okay. Did you see this coming?
No, I don't actually. But
what the hell? Bro, aku nampak benda ni a mile away. A mile away aku dah nampak dah. Aku dah sembang benda ni masa bulan 2, bulan 3 masa benda ni big deal. You know, I've been trying to get on Clubhouse since bila? Akhir tahun lepas? Maybe bulan 8.
Masa invite kan? Now dia dah open to all.
Bukan. Masa bulan 9, bulan 10. Orang dah komplain dah, wartawan macam Taylor Lawrence dekat New York Times.
Okay.
Diorang dah komplain dah the masochism, the kind of brutal attacks that they have against reporters, particularly journalists that is anti-tech dan sebagainya. Aku dah, time tu aku dah nampak dah, benda ni, app ni boleh digunakan untuk spread hate rather than spread information and truth. Okay, dari time tu dah. And pada bulan 12 aku try lah nak masuk, try bulan 1 aku try tak dapat juga, lalah bulan 2 macam the rest of Malaysia ni bawa aku masuk. Okay, fine. Pada masa tu semua cok, semua exciting semua. Lepas tu aku macam, aku tak follow aku punya contact list tau. Aku follow geng-geng yang ekstremis-ekstremis ni, yang you know, Donald Trump punya geng-geng lah apa semua, you know, Breitbart punya people lah. Bro, the kind of shit that they talk, bro, teruk. It's really extremism. Okay, white supremacy. Alright, white supremacy. Masa tu tengah hangat, apa? Insurrection.
Capital attack.
It's not that bad, you know. It's like, actually, they were hugging the cops. Aku macam, hugging the cops. Aku macam, okay, fine.
The video,
dalam,
right?
Dalam akunya. Okay, so in my thinking, if you can have a platform and you can facilitate white supremacy, what is it that is stopping Taliban
or anyone
or yang sewaktu dengan dia menggunakan platform ini untuk cakap benda yang as extremist but on the other side? Nothing stops you. And now, memang betul pun, seperti mana dilaporkan oleh New York Post, Taliban menggunakan Clubhouse untuk menyebarkan dakwah dan fidyah diorang kepada orang ramai. Okay, and remember, Taliban sekarang, because Biden dah announce dia orang nak leave Afghanistan, all the allies dah announce dia orang nak leave Afghanistan, nak tinggalkan Afghanistan, Taliban sweep across Afghanistan and making time, bro, to log on Clubhouse, sembang-sembang, cerita sikit apa macam mana. Lepas tu dia orang boleh plan pula, dia orang boleh plan, oh kita nak serang bukit tu ni, bukit ni, amboi. You know,
and then sebab it's pretty secure, right? You can just like add like
it is
like what 100 people and then you just blah 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 blah.
So now, macam kau cakap tadi, you log on, habis, log off, habis. Berapa kali kita kena bom? Kita sembang dekat Clubhouse room, lepas tu, you know, a man from East USSR, formerly USSR, duk kacau kita punya bilik, berapa banyak kali, babe, cakap kata-kata kesat apa semua, lepas tu belah. Things like this happen, heckling, that happens all the time. But at the same time, kita tahu benda ni real, And this is the one that's happening. That's why the proliferation of technology kadang bukan semuanya bagus. Betul. Alright? Betul. Bukan semuanya bagus. Now the question is, sama ada Clubhouse dia akan transcend to having a net bad. Okay? Over time, is going to be really examined. Sebab kau kena faham, Twitter, there is bad on Twitter.
Oh.
But at the same time, because of the speediness and all that, there are a lot of good. So the net good is more than the net bad. Okay? Instagram, there's a lot of, you know, hate going on dekat DM dorang. So right now, there's, kalau kau tengok macam aku cakap tadi, teenage girls, right? Mm. Going through a lot of mental pressure.
Yeah,
okay. That is bad. Tapi adakah overall good lah, dia lebih daripada bad? Aku overall, yeah, there is a lot of good compared to bad. So they're the net good, alright? Net, right? All the bad dengan all the good, good is more than bad, therefore net good. The question now is, will they go towards the path of Facebook?
Faham, faham.
Because we saw how Facebook is really, really horrible. You boleh live stream church, apa, Christchurch punya massacre.
They can't do anything
about it. Proliferation, yeah, all the hate. Ni, apa nama, all these politicians kita ni guna Facebook untuk spread all this misinformation. Mm. There is no way to stop them, okay? So Facebook is now having a net bad on society. There is no good that you can bring, none whatsoever. Will Clubhouse move towards that direction? Because no one can say Taliban on your platform is a good thing. Tak pernah aku dengar. Tak pernah aku dengar benda ni yang di mana, tak, actually
it is good.
Sebenarnya bagus Taliban ni. Mana ada bro, Taliban bro. It's on your platform.
No,
okay.
Bila kau ni
jenis tembak kepala apa, Malala Yousafzai.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, how lah, good can
this,
that
this
be?
Is the extremist militia type. Aku sekarang duk terfikir, ada someone could just come up and start selling ivermectin on Clubhouse and there's no way to trace or to stop them. And you can just like put, oh, mari kita like sembuhkan COVID, and then you know you start spewing out shit, and you can't control because it's not. I mean, it's not reported. You can extract it and report it. So, yeah, I'm quite worried actually. When I saw this news, aku sebenarnya aku duk fikir, as a, if I'm the Clubhouse punya administrator or owner apa, I'll be very worried because I don't know how to actually streamline it. Because streamlining it basically cuts the access, right? Why we like Clubhouse is basically because of the ease of, you know, okay, let's just get into a room and just discuss things. But then when tak ada moderator or tak ada someone that is monitoring it, it is very, dia membuka ruang kepada anasir-anasir yang tidak baik untuk masuk dan actually dominate. And aku tak nampak how they're going to do it.
Betul.
Yes. Okay, kita akan berehat sebentar, Yim. Lepas ni kita akan sambung dengan apa lagi berita yang besar minggu ni.
Podcast ini disokong oleh Ringgit.com. Ringgit adalah portal media kewangan dalam bahasa Melayu yang memaparkan berita dan isu mengenai industri di Malaysia dan serantau. Portal ini cenderung membahaskan pelbagai topik bermula dari ekonomi ke pasaran ke fintech hinggalah ke startup. Layari ringgit.com, rnggt.com hari ini untuk mendapatkan maklumat terkini dan membahaskan perkara yang penting berkenaan dalam industri kewangan. ringgit.com.
Okey, kembali bersama podcast Aman, aku Mark Peace dan sama aku ialah Yim. Tadi kita dah sembang pasal berita terbesar minggu ni. Sekarang tiba untuk apa lagi berita besar minggu ni. Aku ada quite an interesting article here. Ini sebenarnya from New York Times. I'm going to say it in English. The app with the unprintable name that wants to give power to creators. So, okay, aku try shorten it. Basically, there's this social media creator work together with a former Facebook executive to create this the app. Nama dia Fuck You Pay Me, FYPM. Which is basically dia app yang bertindak untuk memberi lebih power ataupun lebih negotiation power to influencers, content creators, sebab the reason why the nama of the founder is actually Lindsay Lee Lugreen. why Lindsay started this app is because pada satu ketika dulu beliau pernah di approach oleh Mark by Mark Jacobs, and we all know Mark Jacobs is a very big brand for the one of their ad campaigns, and she was only paid $1,000. Of course, at that time she said, well, gembira lah, siapa tak gembira kan, a big campaign. But then she realized that when you cross check and cross reference with other influencers, models, creators dan sebagainya, you are actually undervalued yourself. So this app, this FYPM, so aku rasa is a platform to create a community among content creators dan sebagainya, so that they get a more equitable access to payment from these big brands. Which aku rasa betul, sebab aku rasa aku pernah tengok dalam social media ada orang macam the influencer ni complain lah that this particular pizza company just tak nak bayar, bagi pizza je. Pizza, I mean, any bila-bila pun kau boleh makan kan. Tapi actually when you engage influencer or apa, it's a particular service, right? So when it's a particular service, you have to make sure, because value of pizza what? RM60? Takkan bayar RM60 untuk leverage on your let's say you have a followers of 10,000, 15,000 kan. It has to commensurate lah. But the problem is there's no tangga gaji for influencers, and this is where the problem is.
Okay, matematik. Ada 1,000 influencer dekat Instagram contohnya. 1,000 influencer ni on average seorang ada 3,000 follower. Right? Actually banyak. Maybe 2,000 to 5,000. Tapi kita ambil average 3,000. Andai kata 1,000 orang influencer ni yang masing-masing ada 3,000 follower, diorang 3,000 ni unique. Maknanya contohnya Mak Pis, engkau follow influencer A, aku follow influencer B. Jadi bila kita nak kira influencer A, B, C, D, E, F, G ni semua ni, diorang ada unique followers up to 3 million. Okay? 3 million people. Okay, so kesudahannya apa? 1,000 influencer boleh ada up to 3 million reach. Okay? 1,000 influencer ada 3 juta orang follow dia. Alright, so far so good. Andai kata engkau business owner, engkau Mark by Mark Jacobs, engkau bayar 1,000 ringgit kepada setiap 1,000 influencer. Kos engkau adalah sejuta. Sejuta ringgit. Alright? So, RM1,000 you pay to 1,000 influencers. Kos engkau sejuta. Untuk reach 3 juta customers. Kos per customer engkau adalah 33 sen. Alright? 33 sen. Okay, kita compare dengan traditional ad. Traditional ad, tak kisahlah above the line, below the line, billboard ke, kau bayar Facebook ke apa ke, whatever it is, it's very expensive. Sometimes, customer activation can reach up to RM3 for one customer. Which makes sense. Kalau kau spend RM5 million, kau boleh dapat up to 2 juta orang. Okay? So, kalau kau tengok matematik tadi, 1 juta bagi 3 juta, cost per activation per customer is 33 sen. Kalau kau guna traditional method, RM5 juta bahagi 2 juta orang, setiap cost activation adalah RM3. Ternyata, kalau kau guna influencer, kau akan reach more consumers at shit cheaper money for less. On top of that, kau ada brand recognition through brand ambassadors and product what do you call this endorsement from the favorite influencer that these people follow. So not only are you reaching more people for cheaper, you are going to be able to hit your advertising targets better than traditional advertising. So the question now is, how do you bridge this gap? That's why Fuck You Pay Me app is trying to achieve that. I don't know how well they can achieve that, but this is a huge imbalance that they need to resolve.
Tak, aku rasa macam aku cakap tadi lah kan, there's no tangga gaji kan, macam kau kata tadi kan. berapa I should pay you if you have 1,000 followers? How much should I pay you if you got 5,000 followers? How much should I pay you if I got 1 million followers? So, aku rasa benda tu yang aku rasa macam 1 million dose yang in that bracket is fine because they basically they earn by themselves. I mean, if you reach 1 million followers means you're there. You don't really need. But aku rasa those yang earning between, you know, who have like 5,000 followers, 10,000, 15,000, I think they needs to be like a more equitable lah. Because you cannot pay, takkan? Okay lah, macam si Lindsay ni, but dia bayar 1,000. Okay lah. Maybe at that time she feels cheated ke, undervalued dan sebagainya, because you see the campaign actually not just on the internet but also billboard, other ads. So macam satu form goes on to so many different platforms, right? So she feels like, oh, aku buat satu kerja je tapi they milk me out for so many platforms. So aku rasa they need to be more transparency lah between between those who are giving service and those who are asking for service. Because aku rasa, I mean, we all have friends who are in this business. And aku rasa they are, I mean, it's quite a lucrative job to be in. You influence. You just product placement dan sebagainya. Aku nampak banyak orang yang duduk rumah-rumah besar-besar just from Instagram. They got it from Instagram. So that is how much of a potential it is. So aku rasa kat Malaysia maybe belum lagi kot. I don't know. I don't think it's big of a problem.
Malaysia besar bro.
Aku tak nampak lagi that marah.
Tak. Sebab macam kau cakap ah, kalau kau ada 3,000 follower, kau memerlukan perkhidmatan macam ni. Kau tak tahu kau nak price diri kau macam mana. Kalau kau ada 5,000 follower, kalau kau ada 10,000 follower. Yeah. The moment kau ada 50,000 follower atau 100,000 followers, you can have a good idea of how you want to price yourself for the advertisers. Tapi kalau kau masih lagi kecil, you know, 5,000 followers contohnya, what is the right price?
You don't want to deny yourself of opportunity, right? Because RM500 is still
So you always underprice yourself. Yeah. You always underprice yourself.
But then someone else out there is going to say, I can do it for 300, you know, because they want to get the volume, right?
Habis. Daripada 500 dapat, kau burn. Instead, you know, aku charge 500, ini apa nama, Coca-Cola nak bagi aku 500, Coca-Cola bagi kau 300. Dah, aku frust sorang-sorang, kau tahu tak? So that's why this whole imbalance of market between advertisers and influencers have to be resolved. Jadi, berita ni, aku sangat mengembirakan aku, yang fuck you pay me ni. Tapi masalahnya, kenapa dia kena namakan barang dia macam tu? I mean like, so, ayo. Susah babe nak cakap.
Dia marah. You can see the frustration. But itulah aku tak tahu macam mana things like sugar book pun susah nak dapat operation here in Malaysia. So when you talk about this, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how global it can be. I don't know how regional it can be. It's definitely addressing a need. I'm sure someone di Malaysia and they thought and like boleh buat app kau bayar aku or stuff like that, but I think the concept is interesting and I think more attention should be given lah sebab it is an issue that's I would say jarang orang cakap pasal issue ni.
Memang betul bro. Tapi I wish them all the best dan aku yakin kat Malaysia atau dekat Asia kalau ada orang think about how to address the imbalance is going to
exactly.
Be good.
Anyways, kita will take another short break. Nah, lepas ni kita akan ke segmen Teman Amans.
Zaman sekarang, kita banyak akaun social media. Bila nak kongsi status, kan bagus kalau boleh dapat semuanya serentak? Social.co boleh selaraskan proses ini dengan mudah. Layari social.co. SOCL.co sekarang.
Okay, kita kembali bersama Podcast Amans sesi ketiga ataupun segmen ketiga iaitu Teman Amans. Seperti biasa, pendengar-pendengar di luar sana, kalau ada apa-apa soalan untuk tanyakan kepada aku dan Yen, boleh saja email ke us@amans.my. Okay, sebelum kita teruskan dengan segmen ini, kita dengarkan dulu apa soalan untuk minggu ini.
Assalamualaikum. Hai. Saya Zam. Itu saya mendengar episod tentang Astro dan bagaimana ia ingin menjadi tempat sehenti untuk perkhidmatan persiniman yang lain seperti Disney Plus Hotstar, Netflix, Prime Video dan lain-lain lagi. Saya ingin tahu dengan adanya pelbagai perkhidmatan langganan berbayar ataupun paid subscription ini yang ada, tentunya pengguna tidak mampu untuk melanggan semua yang ada. Soalan saya adalah, apakah pandangan MAPIS dan YEM tentang apa yang akan menjadi pilihan pengguna untuk perkhidmatan langganan berbayar dalam jangka masa pendek ini?
Ni aku rasa YEM lagi hebat lah, sebab I know for a fact YEM lebih banyak subscribe benda compare to aku. In fact, aku rasa aku basic je. I have Spotify.
Okay. I subscribe to nearly everything I use online. Nearly everything. Email. I subscribe to Microsoft 365 sebab aku guna Outlook. Aku try reduce Gmail. YouTube premium, YouTube family, aku subscribe sebab aku nak diorang stop tracking aku dan aku tak mau all the iklan ikut aku wherever I go because Google is very pervasive.
Okay.
So the reason why I subscribe to YouTube is for me to stop the ads from following me. Not so much aku nak, what do you call this? Aku nak nak sangat avoid the ad. No, it's because I want the ads to stop following me. Ingat tak aku ada tanya engkau, kau subscribe tak dengan YouTube? Kau cakap, no, I want to watch the ads. Okay, for me, the argument is a bit different. Aku tak nak ads to ikut aku. Alright, I subscribe to news. Bloomberg, Washington Post, Malaysia Kini, WSJ, Malaysia Kini. Yes. Why? Because I want to support good journalism. Benda-benda free, aku tak suka. Aku tak suka. I think good journalism has to be paid. If I want to be, you know, enjoying the best work out there, I mean, I have to earn it lah. So, you know, paying, you know, 50 cent a week for the premium, for the 3 weeks ataupun 3 bulan punya subscription promo tu, okay lah. Tak apa lah. Nanti aku cancel lah. Tak apalah.
Yalah,
right? Betul. If I want to cancel lah.
Betul
right?
lah.
But Bloomberg exactly. ada 50 sen US seminggu for the first 3 months. I mean, it's a no-brainer though. Try lah. RM4 je sebulan. Sorry, $4 je sebulan. So that's like RM16 sebulan. For Bloomberg, bro. Okay, for Bloomberg. You gotta be kidding. It's you know. Alright. Jadi, bila soalan bertanyakan tentang subscription buffet maybe over ke tidak, you know, kalau ada orang boleh tengok cara nak collect all these subscriptions into one place and then maybe charge one size fits all, it's going to be the holy grail. Sebelum ni dekat US, diorang try buat Apple News. Tapi banyak problem bro. Sebab you know, New York Times.
Tak berapa take off.
No, sebab New York Times was not part of Apple News. Sebab they can charge more by charging consumers straight. Ada satu kajian menunjukkan bahawa New York Times revenue from subscription has surpassed $1 billion for the pandemic year of 2020. Imagine, dia boleh charge, in fact, they are the most profitable company.
Untung lebih.
Dia orang boleh charge, kalau dia orang charge direct to consumers, orang macam aku ni, dia boleh dapat revenue ataupun pendapatan lebih daripada $1 billion for the pandemic year of 2020. Why the hell would they go to Apple News and get a small fee? I don't know how much, but small fee.
Small fraction.
Right? Why? That's why bila...
They don't need the exposure
no,
lah.
No, they don't need the exposure at all. That's why benda macam subscription yang ni, it will only work for small companies. So, benda-benda macam Netflix, Spotify, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Hotstar ke Disney Plus betul ke YouTube, they will not work when it comes to subscription buffet. But if... smaller players, tak kisahlah, you know, melanggan makanan, melanggan berita, melanggan shopping, delivery ke apa, whatever. Kalau diorang boleh focus on the smaller to medium players and diorang boleh groupkan them together and offer a single subscription price, aku rasa benda tu akan take off. Gila-gila punya take off. Sebab, of the 20 things yang I am subscribing online, aku sebenarnya aku nak terminate maybe 10. Alright, about that. Wow. Half, about half. So aku, apa yang aku nak simpan? Aku nak simpan Wall Street Journal because that is the most important thing to me. Aku nak simpan New York Times. Okay, these two things. And then aku nak simpan South China Morning Post because you know they cover a rather okay news lah kalau bab China dengan Hong Kong dengan Asia ni. Tiga ni je aku nak. Alright, and then macam streaming ni dah banyak sangat bro. And then when I realise aku tak tengok mana pun, you know you start to wonder. Ni Apple TV Plus aku dah terminate. Aku dah tak tengok dah Apple TV Plus. Terminate je.
Oh.
So kalau aku beli Apple TV,
aku pun sebab I bought a device so dapatlah 1 year free.
Ah, okay. So aku pun 1 year free and then after that aku ada bayar 2-3 bulan after that and I realise wait. I'm not, why am I paying, you know, RM20 a month? And then kalau aku guna, I'm not using. Alright, itu belum cloud services lagi. Dropbox. Baru sekarang Dropbox melancarkan family plan $200 untuk dapat 2 terabyte. Now pelancaran ni family plans is also
apparently Google Drive, Google Meet pun sama.
Yes, exactly. So family plans is the normal evolution of individual plans, and I find it strange that Dropbox took them this long to get here, but family plans is already in a way a merger or an amalgamation of bundle. So right now, if they can bundle not just users within the same service, but services within the same sector, aku rasa benda ni akan take up a big chunk of growth. And that's why subscription has to be the way forward. But at the same time, kalau kau perasan, iOS users tend to subscribe more than Android users. And there's a reason for this.
I think the UX UI for subscription management is way easier on Apple devices. I mean,
yeah, bro, they make it easy.
They have the tab. You can just like subscribe.
Kau tahu tak? The Athletic adalah satu publication sports yang sangat bagus dalam dunia ni, dalam dunia.
Betul.
Aku memang minat EPL, aku nak dapatkan berita yang terbaik. And then what do I do? I want to subscribe to The Athletic. Bila aku pergi dekat Athletic website, macam-macam lah, normal lah dia punya pages dia kan. Pergi sini, lepas tu ada promotion, kau nak macam ni. Okay. Last, aku tak pernah masuk credit card aku. Tak pernah. Alright. Aku baca 3 free articles a month, lepas tu back off. 3 free articles a month, back off. One day, aku tengok Instagram, dia promote dia punya ad dekat situ, aku klik. Bila aku klik, aku baca, Frank Lampard kena sack. Okay, siapa masuk? Thomas Tuchel masuk. Oh, okay, aku nak. Lepas tu, do you want to read more? Sebab dah more than 3 articles. You pergi sini aja. Tap. One tap only. Dah, settle.
Yeah.
Dia akan charge straight to my Apple ID.
Integrated.
Bila aku, lepas tu dia cakap, dia jahat. Dia cakap, kau normal price, $10 a month.
Standard lah.
You sekarang, you $1 a month for 6 months. And after that, we charge you normal. Cancel anytime.
Ambil je lah.
Aku buat dua benda. First, masuk dalam kalender aku, cancel tarikh ni 6 months from now. Okay, 6 bulan. And then, number 2, subscribe. Dua benda aku buat immediately. Babab. All within 2 minutes. Within 1 minute. Okay, and for nothing, aku dah subscribe. And then, obviously, bila dah masuk bulan ke-6, aku macam dah, okay, this is a good publication. I don't mind paying $10 a month. Boom, aku continue bulan 7, bulan 8. Now it's been 2 years, bro. Aku dah subscribe benda tu. Why? Because it was frictionless. And that is that frictionless experience that iOS users have. Betul. Macam kau cakap, Android users, tak ada benda ni, bro. And it's very difficult to get Android users. It's not. Yeah. But at the same time, publications, they don't want to target Android users pun. It's a nice to have. But the must-have is still on iOS users. And that's why iOS users, we all know this for a fact, they target the top 20% of any market around the world, tak kisah kat Malaysia ke, kat Indonesia, kat mana ke, they target the T20 of apa masyarakat time tu. Bila dia target T20, dia cengkam apa lama-lama,
they
move forward with this.
They get enough.
Yeah. That's it.
Tapi,
so aku rasa the subscription model is going to be more towards iOS users instead of Android.
Tapi aku rasa more interesting thing is like other than bundle. Macam aku rasa macam Apple, I have to say Apple again lah. Sebab Apple One, for example. Aku dah my Apple Arcade subscription just ended. And aku rasa macam daripada aku bayar $19.90 for just Apple Arcade, might as well aku pay the same amount and I get like 50GB cloud, Apple TV, all in. Kira macam, you know, that kind of subscription is more approachable, it appeals more
bundle
to me.
Bundle lah.
Yeah, bundle. Sebab like same price, bundle. You get different things kan. Tapi aku rasa macam, it also macam Spotify. Spotify took me a while to actually get into it. Sampai aku dah kahwin baru aku actually thought of like subscribing to the family. Before that aku rasa macam I don't need it because I'm the only one using it. Now aku dengan wife aku guna, aku rasa macam okay lah, worthwhile a bit to subscribe. But aku rasa Spotify sekarang they have this, aku tak ingat the name of the package. It's like mini subscription, right? You subscribe for like 30 days and you only can download 30 songs. And aku rasa fact of the matter is, kalau you were to check your Spotify, you don't listen more than 30 songs in a particular month. Aku rasa lah. You tend to, yeah, if you're like a heavy user, you tend to listen to more, but because you have it. But if you ask me or any other average user out there, 30 songs is a lot for a month, and you pay it at a fraction of the price of the individual package. Now, aku rasa this is where the subscription service should go to. Netflix, maybe you want only the Netflix originals, or you want the library for horror. You know, when you split it, and then you say like, okay, $3 a month, $4 a month, I think you catch a lot more people that way. And I think this is where the particular subscription services is going lah.
Memang betul. Dan aku yakin micro subscription is going to be the next big thing on top of bundle subscription. Because bundle ni kita dah dengar daripada zaman dulu lagi. But micro subscription is going to be the big thing. Tapi macam kau cakap, Spotify, aku nak terminate bro. Sebab because of YouTube premium, because of YouTube premium subscription, aku ada YouTube Music. And then I realize now that YouTube Music, diorang punya discovery AI lagi better than Spotify. Jarang aku dapat dengar lagu-lagu baru yang aku minat dekat Spotify berbanding dengan YouTube Music. Mungkin sebab YouTube Music tahu apa yang aku minat, lebih pandai daripada apa yang Spotify tahu yang apa aku minat. Dan because of that, YouTube Music menggunakan AI engine diorang yang diorang dah tahu daripada video yang aku suka. Kau tahulah kan, kita tengok satu YouTube video, one thing will lead to another, and they can the kind of know where you're going with this. Macam TikTok, they kind of know where you're going with this. So they just transplant that for music. Aku sekarang dah guna YouTube Premium nak dekat 2 bulan. YouTube Music aku dah pakai nak dekat 2 bulan. Aku macam, aku dah bincang dah dengan bini aku. Aku cakap, I think YouTube Music is a lot better lah actually. Dah, boom. So, ni awal bulan Ogos, Merdeka nanti aku terminate lah Spotify. Habis. So, imagine something that is so integrated. Spotify is so integrated. Dekat semua bro. Dekat jam watch aku, dekat apa, everywhere. I am ready to terminate Spotify. Why? Because the integration between YouTube Music and YouTube Premium is there, and I don't mind YouTube Music because of the AI yang diorang ada. I'm willing to leave the service. So I think that's why aku tak suka sangat Google lah. Bukanlah nak kata aku benci Google, tapi aku tak suka sangat Google because they will win bro at the end of the day.
Okay, we could take a short break. And aku rasa benda ni ada lagi kita nak bincang, especially for the future of Malaysian consumers. Kita akan take another break before we go to the next segment, iaitu segmen ramalan atau Nuzul.
Tahukah anda industri permainan video merupakan antara industri terbesar di dunia yang bernilai berbilion-bilion ringgit? Dan saiz industri ini telah kekal gergasi selama beberapa dekad. Pada tahun 2020, pendapatan dari pasaran permainan PC di seluruh dunia dianggarkan bernilai lebih 100 bilion ringgit. Dapatkan berita dan rangkuman dunia permainan video terkini sepenuhnya dalam bahasa Malaysia di aksiz.com. AKSIZ.com hari ini.
Okay, welcome back to Podcast Aman bersama aku, Mak Fiz dan Yim. Sebelum break tadi, kita bercakap tentang future of subscription plans, or rather the end of buffet subscription plans. But now kita nak ke segmen ramalan atau segmen Nuzum. Okay, Yem. Aku...
Okay, kau nak tahu apa ramalan aku? Messi akan pergi ke PSG. Itu ramalan aku.
Messi punya that is a very big news. Actually aku sebenarnya agak annoyed tau dengan how this news turn out, sebab aku rasa lama gila the process of negotiation contract. And if Messi were to leave, sayang Barca sangat, let Barca pay him $1 lah. Aku tak faham the I don't know. Maybe I'm not
Messi punya contract was exposed nak dekat 500 juta euro over 4 years.
No,
maknanya
it's ridiculous. Yeah, aku tak rasa he's worth that much.
120 million a year. 120 million a year is 10 million a month. Bro. 10 million
nobody
a month,
is worth
bro.
That much. Nobody is worth it.
And then of course Barca nak saman.
Nobody
lah,
is worth that much.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that
nobody is worth that much.
So siapa kena con?
Nobody
siapa
is worth con? That much.
Barcelona ke ataupun actually Barcelona lah kena con, tak ada apa lah tinggal.
Aku rasa Barcelona sebab you see, because at the end of the day now Messi dah tak ada contract. So basically he lives for free. You lose all that. I mean you could have Messi, okay, for example today kan, Jack Grealish go to Man City for 100 million. Messi could easily worth 150 million.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah.
Lukaku
or even more.
Lukaku 200 pun million. Dah 100 million.
But Barca dah miss that opportunity lah.
Memang lah. Habis lah.
Yeah, but aku... tapi actually, okay, coming back to Messi, aku rasa sebenarnya menarik the ramalan that he's going to PSG. Tapi aku sebenarnya rasa he probably go to Manchester City because Manchester City is the only club in the world that can afford him.
Oh, City ya.
Yeah. Other than PSG.
Tak boleh dia dah beli Grealish lah. Yeah. Takkan dia nak cancel Grealish tiba.
Tak adalah. You just pay je lah. Messi punya contract yang kau kata 10 million a month tu. 10 million a month, how much is it a week? 2.5 million a week? That's why aku kata ridiculous. Because, okay, Ronaldo. Ronaldo berapa? Ronaldo is about 500,000 a week kan? 500,000. His contract that push him up to maybe what 2 million a month. Pogba is about like what 300,000, 380 ke apa or more than that, but Pogba is useless lah. But I'm just saying all these high paying or players that terima high payment, aku tak rasa lah Messi worth that much, and especially at this particular age. He's a great football player, arguably the greatest of all time. But the wage bill is just ridiculous. And aku rasa this whole drama about it, if he really loves Barcelona, you would have taken a 50% or 80% pay cut. Because even if Messi, according to what you say, even if he were to take a 90% pay cut, he's still earning 1 million a month. And I don't think he needs that. I don't think he needs it. 1 million is more than my life saving.
90%. Betul. Boleh kerja tak free kan? Ha, tapi tak mau,
I mean,
kan?
Tak, so, tak payahlah kerja free.
Tak adalah. Aku rasa,
nominal fee lah.
Tak,
nominal
aku
fee.
Rasa, no. Aku rasa sejak August last year yang Josep Bartomeu stop dia punya move yang dia hantar fax cakap dia nak ciao. Aku rasa because Josep Bartomeu kata, okay, no, fuck you. Stay here. Tak boleh. You cannot leave. Dia kata, oh, you want to use that? Fine. You get me for one more year. But at the same time, I am going to milk you dry. And I will not make this easy on you. And sampai kiamat lah, dia akan dendam dekat Barcelona sebab the last year of contract, last year yang dia tak dapat jalan tu. Aku rasa itulah dia punya dendam dia dekat situ lah. Anyway, that's my speculation. Yeah, tak but, kenal dia pun.
But yeah, definitely aku totally like it flew me by, right? I mean, we should have discussed this. And memang betul ramalan kau PSG, aku kata Man City, but we'll see lah. For all you know, he probably retires. Aku tak tahu, tak ada club nak pergi kan. Mungkin dia pergi ke Al Ahli ke or Shenzhen Shandong.
Tapi tak dia tahu. Bukan dia ada cakap dia nak pergi US tau. So your Shenzhen Shandong tu memang possible tau, sebab dia yalah dia nak relax, you know, just make sure dia workout, yeah, that kind of thing, just relax.
He doesn't need money lah at this point. He doesn't need money.
Right now, there's no legacy to protect. There is no legacy to protect. Everything is sorted already. Anyway, back to our ramalan. Kita nak ramal apa tadi? Awal-awal tadi.
Ramalan pasal subscription. But Messi is way more interesting. Continue him.
Aku ramal. Kalau app developer dia nak barang free, dia nak buat barang free, dia akan target Android user. Dan app developer yang nak buat payment, dia akan pergi ke iOS user. Dan aku ramal collective subscription for any iOS user, dia akan stick to around 300 per month. So now, app developer has to figure out how much can they get from that RM300 a month. Can they get RM10 daripada 300 tu? Ataupun can they get RM30 daripada 300? Aku rasa dia takkan grow more than 300. Why 300? Sebab mean income for iOS user is actually T20. Alright? Some in M40, but mostly T20. So T20 dekat Malaysia, we talked about this before. Kalau kau household income RM4,000 lebih, kau dah T20 dah. So RM4,000, kalau 10% is subscription, it makes sense. Sebabnya RM400, tapi aku reduce sikit RM300. Essentially, dalam setiap bulan, T20 akan spend RM300 just for subscriptions. So, for app developers out there that want to earn from subscription, how much of that 300 can you get? Sebab kita dah tahu dah, kalau Netflix, which is the biggest thing right now for T20, when it comes to streaming, diorang dah charge RM50 sebulan. Okay, what about the others? Dropbox, you know, Microsoft. What about the others?
So, all this what is deemed as necessary lah. So cloud service, music service,
cloud, streaming. Streaming, whatever, right? I mean, to be frank, none of this is necessary. I mean, but just because we want to leave it
T20 list.
But the more important thing here is the widening data privacy gap between the haves and the have-nots. Sebab kalau kau guna barang free, engkau lah produk. Kalau engkau bayar produk. So, Android users, which we know in Malaysia has about 80%, users dekat Malaysia, Android users, you're letting 80% of data privacy to be mined by the companies to serve who? To serve the 20% that is paying it, which is the iOS user. So, you're looking at the 80% serving the 20% using the tech companies as the slave driver. This is what it is. At the end of the day, itu ramalan aku.
Okay, well, dia passive slavery, unknown slavery.
tak ada. Dulu slavery kena buat piramid kan, kena pukul, kena belasah.
I'm saying this because I'm an Android user and aku macam, I get your point. Tapi aku macam, well, I mean we live in an interconnected world. I just bought for my wife a vacuum cleaner bot kan, just to mudahkan things. Now they basically know my vacuum patterns, but you want the convenience kan, so okay lah. I understand your point, but aku rasa there's another perspective to it, which is tak apalah, you use my data, but at the end of the day is the T20 paying for it, I'm using it for free, you know, that kind of thing. But tak apa, we're going to take one final break. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen baik buruk.
Kita semua tahu bahawa industri sukan adalah antara industri terbesar di dunia. Dari Euro 2020 ke Piala Dunia 2022. Dari Olimpik Tokyo ke Temasya Sukan Asia Hangzhou 2022. Sukans.com menghimpunkan kesemua berita sukan terbesar di dalam dan di luar negara. Dapatkan berita penting di Liga M3 ke Liga Super di sukans.com. Semuanya di sukanz.com.
Okey, kita kembali ke segmen terakhir untuk sesi podcast kali ini, iaitu segmen baik buruk. Game, apa yang baik untuk minggu ni?
Aku rasa yang baik adalah politik, situasi politik dah reda sikit dan DAP.
Sebab confidence vote lambat lagi kan.
Dah September. Satu hal lah. But DAP ada keluar satu kertas dasar dan terbitkan dekat akhbar The Star. Aku baca
The Star.
The Edge. The Edge. Pardon me. The Edge. And then
okay.
there are a lot inside that paper yang aku disagree. A lot. But this is what it should be. I should disagree on a political party based on the damn policies. Bukan sebab, you know, diketuai oleh kluster mahkamah, diketuai oleh China, diketuai oleh orang Iban. Apa. That is not politics, bro. Politics should be policy.
Yes. Nama, politics is policy
nama
lah.
Nama MP pun policy maker. So, DAP, dia terbitkan dia punya dasar dekat The Age untuk kita nilaikan sama-sama. Ini yang aku nak tengok. And maybe 20% je kot aku agree kot dengan dasar DAP. So what? That's the point. Right? Now, I have to shop. I go shopping. So, siapa ada dasar lebih baik daripada DAP berkenaan dengan cara nak melawan pandemik, berkenaan dengan pendidikan, berkenaan dengan isu-isu kesihatan. Eh, kalau tak ada orang yang boleh bagi aku dasar yang lebih baik daripada DAP, walaupun aku hanya agree 20% dengan apa yang DAP nak buat, aku
that's the highest. That's the highest you can
20%
get.
20% is more than 0%, bro. That's the point. Yes, so, betul. Aku seronok baca political party menterbitkan diorang punya isu-isu dasar di akhbar, mana-mana akhbar tempatan. Aku tak kisah. Alright? I think that should be the way forward. Itu baik. Yang buruk,
I think even if you don't want to terbitkan, aku rasa boleh je make it public. I mean, you have your website, blog, Facebook. Terbitkanlah kat sana.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But I think it's important for us to publish dekat press. It takes a different connotation tau. Sebab
in terms of accountability, in terms of believability. I do agree in that sense.
Dia bukan tweet. It's a proper publication that needs to be held accountable.
So, sorry for spending more time on this. Tapi aku rasa DAP is way ahead in terms of political culture. Dia punya political culture very different. It actually mimics a very negara membangun punya political party. We're talking about Norway, Finland, Iceland, those kind, you know, very mature in terms of arguing policies and the way. Of course, you can disagree with some of their policies. It's fine. Even you disagree, I disagree with some of their policies. Tapi aku suka the political culture that they bring, and that's the benda baik lah. And that should be emulated by all the parties. Tak kisah pun. PAS ke, UMNO ke, GPS ke.
Tapi okay, so sekarang dia ada 42 kerusi. Dan aku yakin kalau ada PRU ni yang akan datang ni, dia akan kekal semua 42 kerusi. Isu DAP adalah dia tak boleh menang tempat lain. We all know this. So ada satu website yang agak best jugalah kalau kau nak belik-belik lah kan. Malaysia Kini punya website, bro. Malaysia Kini punya website. Dia ada letak situ satu carta. Maknanya apa nama?
Siapa sokong Muhyiddin? Perjuangan, siapa sokong Tan Muhyiddin? Itu
perjuangan ke Putrajaya. Okay, now shout out to my favorite Twitter user sekarang, Fabrizio Romano. Fabrizio Rahmano. Fabrizio Rahmano ni dahsyat, bro. Yeah. Dahsyat. First of all, okay, context. Yeah. Fabrizio Romano is a person, A-star agent.
Very famous.
For transfer. Dia normally break news lah. For transfer. Okay. Now Fabrizio Rahmano pun boleh tahan juga. Dia siap ada Here We Go tu, aku tak tahan tu. Selaka.
Here We Go is the podcast that Fabrizio Romano. That Romano lah. Romano is Here We Go podcast.
The real person. Yeah.
Di Rahmano
so,
ni.
So sekarang dia tulis lah. MP mana dah support mana. Lepas tu ada official Green Tick Here We Go. You know, siapa Mahathir Khalid lah. After Noh Omar sokong siapa?
That's entertaining.
I think that should be the win lah. That should be the win lah. Not just the DAP policy thing. Aku DAP policy thing tu macam boring. So I think this is my win.
Okay. Buruk apa pula?
Buruk politik lah. Apa taknya? Buruk will always be politik for the next few months lah, bro. Tak habis lah, bro. Semua kata okay. Ini. Okay.
Aku rasa benda ni will continue sampai the the confidence vote lah. Sebab aku rasa even
ada ke confidence vote? Ada ke?
But aku okay lah. Let
dia bilang bulan 9. Ya ke? Itu je lah.
Tak aku yang best tu aku baca and aku dengar. Dia kata bulan September. Okay, orang are talking about is it beginning of the September or late of September. Aku pula terfikir September 2021 ke 2022 ke 2023 sebab dia tak beritahu tahun bila. So itu yang aku terfikir kan. Tu aku terfikir lah kan. Tapi I hope he meant this year lah. You know, I don't mind whether it's 1st or 30th September. Tapi yang penting is this year because sebab the way it's written kan is bulan September. Yeah. So aku macam
Yeah.
Tapi itulah, tak apalah. Of course, you'll definitely hear more from us as things develop. Tapi for now, kita take some pleasure lah in the calmness of the situation. Okay, aku rasa sekian saja untuk sesi podcast Aman sekali ini. Bagi mana-mana daripada pendengar yang ingin hantar maklum balas, soalan, feedback dan sebagainya, boleh email ke us@amans.my. Sekian saja daripada aku, Mat Peace dan Yip.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Amans TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Amans hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Amans TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram hari ini.